paying attention to feelings. Awareness of feelings is the key factor in the path of liberation and is one of the four establishments of mindfulness. This is undertaken in the framework of the meditative practice aimed at the growth of insight or vipassana. It is difficult for the practitioner to make progress until he or she has come to terms with feelings and emotions, as the practice itself, at least in the early stages, can bring up intense and persistent feelings and their associated emotions. In the practice of vipassana meditation, positive or negative emotional states are acknowledged by mentally noting them without reaction as much as possible. Then it can be taken a step further by tuning into the underlying feeling tone that is associated with the emotion. In this way, the feeling itself is highlighted, thus allowing for the primary feeling to be investigated as it has become distinct from the emotional content. While the term feeling refers to physical sensations, it also includes mental feelings as well. The importance of the practice of attentiveness to mental feelings should be stressed, because by differentiating feelings from their associated emotions, you can diffuse the emotional charge once you have developed the ability to catch the underlying feeling tone. So let us take a closer look at feelings and how to work with them. In the English language, we use the term feelings interchangeably with emotions. For example, when we say, "I'm feeling delighted," we are referring to the emotion of happiness or delight. On the other hand, the vipassana meditator would note that a pleasant feeling arises and that the emotion is one of delight. So in the context of this practice, the term feeling is used in the technical sense of a quality of pleasant, unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant, that is, neutral feeling. To make a statement of the obvious, as sometimes the obvious can be overlooked, we are beings on the sensory plane. We live in the world of the senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. And it is through our senses that we experience the world, and it is through the sense impressions at the six sense doors that we experience feelings. Feelings are the source of our liking and disliking. If we are not aware of the underlying feeling, we tend to automatically react to sense objects with liking or disliking, which is what is conditioning us and keeping us trapped in samsara. We pull in and have attachment to what we like, and push away, have aversion to what we don't like. Mostly, then, it is just liking, disliking, pushing and pulling. Whether people are aware of it or not, feelings are all pervasive in life. People's lives are mostly spent in endless effort to increase pleasant feelings and avoid unpleasant feelings. What tends to be overlooked, and so should be looked out for, is the effect of neutral feelings. For when there are neither obvious pleasant nor unpleasant feelings manifesting, the mind can be confused and not knowing, that is, in ignorance, having lost presence of mind. So we can appreciate the Buddha's pithy saying on feelings. Quote, "All things converge on feelings." Yet feelings by itself, in its primary state, is quite neutral when it just registers the impact of an object as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Only when there are successive emotional add-ons, such as when one's personal story is involved, would there arise aversion, happiness, hatred, love, anxiety, or fear. Feelings and emotions need not be mixed, as they are separable. In fact, many of the weaker impressions we experience during the day stop at the mere registering of very faint and brief feelings. This shows that stopping at the primary feeling is possible and can be done with the help of awareness and self-restraint, even in cases where the stimulus to convert feeling into emotion is strong. For the Vipassana meditator, it is essential to work with feelings, especially one's mental feelings or feelings associated with states of mind. By monitoring feelings, one can maintain one's equilibrium in the practice and allow the enlightenment factors of equanimity to mature. There are occasions when the mind is calm and alert, and when one is not totally preoccupied, to notice feelings clearly at their primary stage. Then it is just a practice of monitoring what feelings are present even when they are faint and brief throughout the day. In fact, working with feelings as a practice starts with establishing awareness on minor feelings. For example, many times during the day, one can be noticing minor body sensations and/or feelings that come and go. If, however, one is unable at first to clearly differentiate feelings, it is a useful strategy to ask oneself a checking question. What feeling is present? In this way, the meditator can highlight the predominant feeling and be able to focus on it rather than be confused by the jumble of fleeting feelings and their successive emotional states of mind. It is of particular importance to dissociate the feeling from the thought of I or mine. There should be no ego reference, as for instance, I feel, nor should there be any thought of being the owner of the feeling. I have pleasant feeling or I have pain. Awareness of the feeling tone without the ego reference allows the meditator to keep the attention focused on the pure feeling alone. In working with feelings, there should first be an awareness of the feelings when they arise, clearly distinguishing them as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. While there are degrees of intensity of feeling, with close attentiveness, it is clear that there is no such thing as a mixed feeling. When noting feelings, attention should be maintained throughout the short duration of the specific feeling down to its ending or passing away. If the vanishing point of feeling is repeatedly seen with increasing clarity, it will become much easier to catch and finally to stop thoughts and emotions which normally follow so regularly and are habitually linked through conditioning to their associated feeling tones. Pleasant feeling is habitually linked with enjoyment and happiness, while unpleasant feelings are linked with aversion or pain, while neutral or indifferent feelings are linked with ignorance and confusion. When bare attention, that is, registering the feeling without reaction in a state of receptivity, is directed to the rising and vanishing of feelings, the polluting add-ons or defilements are held in bay and thus inhibited from further elaboration. So gradually the gross feelings weaken and fall away. One loses interest, thus dispassion arises, which is a natural, effortless letting go. A trap to watch out for is not acknowledging pleasant feelings, especially pleasant feelings and sensations that arise from the fluency of the practice and later stages of insight. There is usually no problem in noticing unpleasant feelings, but we should be wary and note pleasant feelings when they arise, as we are predisposed to get attached to them very easily and thus lose equanimity. Through one's own direct experiences of a Vipassana meditator, it can be confirmed that the ever-revolving round of the wheel of life that we tread can be stopped with karma-producing activities neutralized at the point of feeling, and that there is no inherent necessity that feeling is automatically followed by attachment or aversion. This is done by the practice of being mindful at one of the six sense doors and intercepting the bare feeling between the linkage of sense impression and craving. Like all mindfulness exercises, it is essential that the practice of awareness of feelings be applied in everyday life, especially whenever feelings are prone to turn into unwholesome emotions. So by practicing awareness of feelings, the benefits will be immediately apparent in one's relationships and dealing with the external world. For example, an increase in compassion and equanimity, as well in one's own clarity and peace of mind. In the teaching of the five aggregates of grasping, the Buddha likened feelings to bubbles. If feelings can be seen in their bubble-like, blown-up and bursting nature, their linkage to aversion and attachment will be weakened until the chain is finally broken. Through this practice, attachment, which is a kind of stuckness to feelings, will be skillfully eliminated. This does not mean that this practice will make one detached or emotionally withdrawn. On the contrary, mind and heart will become more open and free from the fever of clinging. Out of this seeing, an inner space will be provided for the growth of the finer emotions, loving-kindness, compassion, patience, and forbearance.